Good Thursday morning. It is October 9th. We've got another good episode of Talking Business for you today. We've got guest Matt White, who is a business development
specialist.
And we're going to have some good conversations today about just some good practices in business and growing your business. Talk about some stories about how he got started, and we've got a lot of good content for you today. All right, man. Good morning. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
We met at festivals and whatnot, just out in the community networking, because when you're in business and you're in your first few years, relationships, right? But what you do primarily is business development. You're not like an event coordinator per se, right? But you serve on a lot of boards as part of how you serve the community, right? So can you just define a little bit what you do as a as a business owner, and you know, the role that you play in helping local businesses, but also just like, does it tie in? Maybe I'm going down a dead road here, but like dead end road. But does that tie in with some of the stuff that you're doing event wise too?
Well, so doing the events is a way to help our community get better, mm-hmm. and that's how you meet customers and mm-hmm. build those relationships. Because right. you know, I can get a billboard and a magazine and a TV ad and all those things, but mm-hmm. we're so inundated with marketing these days that right. we've all developed an ability to sort of zone out
right.
on that stuff.
Right.
And you have a limited amount of space and time in a billboard and a TV ad
right.
to say what you need to say. Whereas, you know, here, we're going to talk for half an hour
mm-hmm.
and have a real conversation, and we can have some back and forth, and I could talk to you about, you know, your needs and your experiences that you've had, and maybe mm-hmm. ask you some questions about why you don't do this or how you do that. And you just can't have that in a billboard. So I go to these events and just, you know, A, to do good for the community and help the place get better.
Right.
And then B, you know, I get some relationships out of that.
Yeah.
And not only just business, but also friendships and things.
Sure. And that's how honestly, I look at it too, is building a business. You know, marketing, like you said, there's a perception and an ability for us to block things out. You know, and if you're someone who only markets on social media, and I've said this in previous podcasts and things, like the attention span on social media, and it's inundated with marketing. When you go on Facebook and you scroll through Facebook, what are you seeing? How much content from your friends are you actually seeing? Maybe one per every seven or eight things that you look at, and you're just scrolling through, and they already know what you're looking for. So, like, you know, as far as the algorithm goes and whatnot, and then you get sucked into the videos and stuff, and it's like marketing on Facebook and things like that. I think that there's just real value in the personal touch of, depending on what business you're in, right?
Well every business is relationships. If you make your life about people, your business will do better. Your personal life will do better. It's always about people. You know, if you run a company and you're like, we got to make more money, that can work for you in the short term. But if you want to make real money, focus on your people, mm-hmm. and the money will take care of itself. You will
right.
make money by building relationships, taking care of your employees, taking care of your customers, just being in the community. You will make money.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how it's just like being a good person and treating people well, right? It all comes back around. Karma, it all comes mm-hmm. back around. And obviously, you've got to have some good business fundamentals, right?
Right. And that's kind of where, you know, that when I realized that I could do that stuff, you know, I used to work for an IT firm for about 8.5 years.
Okay.
And it was, you know, a lot of the guys there, no fault of their own, they're computer guys. So they mm-hmm. want to sit and play on a computer all day. Whereas I understood, you know, how to run a business and understand that, like, hey, the printer has to work today because we have to print paychecks,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's got to work, or we have to come up with some Band-Aid solution because the business has to keep running. You know, you got to focus on running the business, not on necessarily fixing the computer.
Yeah. So going from an IT firm, like where, what was it? Because there's fear in like starting your own business, right? There's just an unknown, It's the unknown, right? Like, it's harder. You're going to work 60, 70 hours for yourself opposed to 40, 45 hours for someone else. What was it? What was the day? Do you know? Like,
It was April 15th, 2015.
And you were like, I'm done with this.
I had gotten a calendar invite from my COO to do a performance analysis or something like that. And I was like, no, I don't want, I'm doing, ask any customer that I work, that I take care of. You know, as an IT firm, we took care of hundreds of clients. So I was all over the place every single day. And I said, ask any one of them, and I'm killing it. And you want to have this performance meeting to talk about whatever. And I'm like, I'm busy taking care of customers to make you money. And I was just, I was like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. So
and it was like a Tuesday afternoon at like one in the afternoon. And I'm like, I'm done. And there was like a certain sense of relief, like, oh my gosh, I'm finally out. Like, I'm done with that. But then there was also like, what do I do now? And we had already planned a family vacation. We were going to the beach that week. And I was like, should I really be doing this? Like, I have no money coming. I have literally, I have like one more paycheck coming, you know. But other than that, I have no money coming. Do I really need to be going to the beach right now, or do I need to be figuring out how I'm going to pay my bills?
Right.
We ended up going to the beach, but
well, you hit the beach and then come back and hit it hard. Sometimes you need that reset.
Yes.
But like, how hard is, so like, what were some things that you did early on that like, or how much, what were some of the hardest lessons learned in the first like couple of stages of growing your business?
So it's the biggest issue that I ran into was I'm not a paperwork guy. Most people just hate paperwork. So I would spend all day, you know, coming to customers and fixing and doing whatever they needed. But then when it came time to send them an invoice, those would just go by the wayside. And then I would, they get backed up. And then it's like you're sending them this huge bill because you haven't invoiced them for multiple trips. And then they're like, why is this bill so huge? You know, and it's not that they didn't like me and they didn't want me to come back. It's just like, hey, this is a bigger bill. We would rather you send us
increments.
Right. Smaller bills. and even though I can do, I can wear all the hats, it's wearing, finding the time to wear all the hats that stresses you out.
So, so a little bit of like the time management was, and I think that that's very common with a lot of business owners is like, they don't, I'm not going to say they don't know how to manage their time, but it's really easy. If you don't time block, it's easy to get sucked into things and not have time set aside for things that you need to do or at that point in your business too, like, or that you don't know that you need to be doing.
Right.
Right. And for you, it's like, well, I got to get paid.
Right.
And if I don't get paid, the lights don't stay on. And so I got to invoice. Right. How am I collecting payments from my customers?
Right.
Am I taking cash, card, checks, whatever. And I think that's kind of hard if you're just doing it all by yourself. Right.
Yeah. It's just a time constraint. And then it becomes this like overwhelming, like, oh, I have to sit down for 2 hours and send all these invoices and I just don't want to do it. You know, so you push it off and you push it off. And then it's like, hey, there's no food in the cupboards. Maybe I ought to sit down and send those invoices.
Right. Yeah. So like, as far as that sounds from like a fundamental standpoint, what were, did you have any challenges with like growth and just being like, oh man, I got to get a backlog. Like where are my customer, where's my next client going to come from? Or where's my next check going to come from? Like you feel like, have you felt like your back was against the wall, back up against the wall at all during that time? Or did you have an okay time like transitioning from that job to getting those relationships to come work for you? Or,
well, I mean, it's always a struggle starting a business because you have to do all the businessy stuff, the paperwork and all that kind of stuff, but you have to get some customers,
right.
You know? So I was able to transition some customers from my previous work job and get some referrals relatively quickly to sort of establish a customer base. But the thing is you got to establish your, you know, your work-life balance type
right.
of thing, because that just gets way out of whack. And it's like, hey, I'm taking care of all these customers and I'm sending the invoices and I'm doing all this volunteering. And it's like, hey, you know, I got to, you know, paint my living room or whatever it is. And the paint the living room gets pushed to the side and pushed to the side and pushed to the side. And then you're like, man, it's been 6 months and I need to paint the living room.
Gotcha. So, like, have you been able to adjust to some of that, like, time blocking or work-life balance, given that you're the one running the show, and if you're not at work, then money's not coming in, right? Like, how have you made that those adjustments, or have you, or...
Well, over time, you just learn the lesson of, I need to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm taking this day to do whatever. And sometimes that day is a Tuesday afternoon in the summer because it's like, hey, it's 85 degrees and sunny. I'm going to the beach.
Yeah. I think that's really hard. I think that there's going to be this wave of new business owners. Like, I think younger people, it's going to be a trend because I don't think that they're going to have as much of like the tolerance for doing the 8 to 5 in an office and things, and just doing engaging with some of the younger people. I feel like there's a lot of them want to become business owners, and I think that this is good information for them, and even new business owners, young business owners who are trying to do it all right now. And some of them, you know, that are friends, I'm trying to say, hey man, be careful, like, don't burn out, right? Like, save yourself from burnout, because this is a long game, right? And it's okay. I think even though finances might be stressed, I think they got to figure it out in their budget to maybe hire some part-time help, right? Like, do you feel like having, as far as like from a financial standpoint, or maybe not a financial standpoint, but like, how important do you think it would be for a business owner to have like an extra set of hands on deck? Like, do you think your situation was different and you were able to just muscle through it? Or would you recommend like a business owner starting up today, like, have that assistant?
Well, you got to have hands. You got to have people, you know, in IT and business development, it's I'm the product, so I can go there. So I don't have any, you know, I don't have an inventory, you know, because it's all my time and my skills. But so for me, it's a bit of a unique situation where trying to find someone who has the business knowledge and the IT knowledge, that's a very interesting combo. So those are very few people.
Right.
But, you know, in pretty much any business, you need an employee base because you're going to burn out. And it's just so much easier to lead a team of, you know, even three people and say, hey, we need to get this done this week, or how are we doing on the quarterly projections or whatever, or hey, there's a trade show we got to get to get some customers. You need that team to stabilize your business. You know, if I go on vacation for a week, I don't earn any money that week.
Right.
You know, but if I work an 80-hour week, I make a killing, you know.
Right. So I think that having that someone, even if it's just part-time, like, business owners should know, like, you're going to need a break. Like, you're going to need that someone to field calls, right? And I think that, like to what you said, and if it's a specific trade or something, like, there are some things you just can't teach, right? Like, you some people you just can't teach. And this might sound bad, but like, you just can't teach business etiquette to some people. You can't teach communication skill. Like, you could maybe try and help mentor them, but you're running a business. You don't want to teach someone like how to communicate effectively and things like right. that. And those are all the things that they teach you in like business school. So like, from my point of view, it's like, hire the business professional, teach them how to do the IT stuff, or teach them you don't have to teach them to be your caliber of expertise, but like, teach them the basics. So when someone calls in and they can field that call and keep the operation running while you're out servicing the clients. Right. And so I feel like it's hard because, you know, talent can be hard to come by, especially in our area. Right. But I feel like that's, you know, being able to coach someone or at least finding that person that's like trainable, right?
Right.
To be able to carry on some of those
tasks.
Well,
and that's the thing is you can hire talent or you can train talent.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hire talent, that's going to cost me 50, 70, 100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
If I hire, I don't want to just say, you know, a warm body, you know, for 30 or 40 or whatever, I can train them into being a computer guy. And now he's worth 75 or 100.
Right.
You know, I have a friend who started his business, and it was just him. And the first year, he did it by himself. And the second year, he hired an office person, gave that person a good salary, and paid himself, like, I think he set his budget at, like, $15,000 for himself. And then he went out and did work, but now he has that office person to do the phone calls and the emails and copies and calendars and just all that kind of stuff, so he could be out doing the work.
Right. You need it. I would say it's maybe not in like the first year, but as you start to get clients, right, and as or customers, whatever your business is, right, you want to make sure that you're servicing those customers, because that's where your referrals are going to come from. That's where your growth is.
Your reputation is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people that from customers from my previous job and I haven't seen in a decade, and I will run into them in the store or whatever, and they're not only do they remember me, but they're happy to see me because I have that reputation, we had that relationship.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things, right? If you do good by your clients, your business,
you will make money. You can make money in the short term by overcharging somebody and make a few hundred bucks.
It's not sustainable.
Right. Because in IT, a lot of times, you know, people can tell when you're trying to sell them a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily know the specifics of it, but they have kind of a feeling in their gut. They're like, I don't really need this thing, or this, he's charging me more than this is worth. But if you can go in and say, look, here's your choice, and here's what it's going to cost you, and just be straight with people, they'll respect you for it. I mean, we've all made mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've made many, and I will make many more.
Right.
It's just how it is. But I go in, and I'm like, look, I screwed this up, and, you know, I'm going to fix this, and take care of it. You know, and I'm not going to charge you for my time to screw it up and you know, double charge you for the time to screw it up and then the time to fix it.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can walk out of that situation ahead of the game farther than if you hadn't screwed up, because now they can establish trust and be like, that guy's going to be straight with me no matter what.
Nice.
And now you have that relationship. So, A, when you screw up again, they'll be like, well, you know, he'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, but B, they know going into it that you're in it with them. You're not there to just make money on them. You know, my sort of motto is sort of, you know, I work for you. Like, I try to make decisions when I'm at a customer as if I was an employee on their payroll.
Yeah.
You know, and owners appreciate that.
Absolutely. If someone were listening to this and they were a business owner and they're like, okay, so we've kind of talked about, you know, your involvement with Luma, which is a pretty cool festival. And we had you at the Summerfest in Newark Valley this year because we're an ambitious group out there, and we would love to bring some larger scaled items and stuff into that area, right? Especially for our festivals and community gatherings and whatnot. But if you're a business owner listening to this, you know, can you give like a good value proposition of like what you're going to do for what you do for the local businesses that you work with, just to kind of clear that up for us?
Sure. So it's, you know, I wrestled with this for a couple of years on how I wanted to say it and what I wanted to say and what I didn't want to say, because I didn't want the conversation to be about money,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
My life is not about money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we all need money to pay our bills and all that, and it's nice to have extra money to buy a jet ski or whatever,
mm-hmm,
you know, but it's not about the money. But at the end of the day, a lot of what I do is saving people money, you
okay.
know? People will call and say, hey, the printer is broken, so I show up and, okay, now the printer works, and then, okay, let's go a step farther now. What are you printing? Do we need to print that? Can we email that? Is there a change in the process somewhere that we can put in so we don't have to print this piece of paper? So you're saving paper, you're saving toner, you're saving wear and tear on the printer, you're saving time.
Right.
You know, and all that adds up to cost savings. I regularly have to push on management to get them to buy new computers for their employees because they say, well, it works. And I'm like, yeah, it works, but it's super slow. So I actually made a spreadsheet called It's Cheaper to Buy a Computer Than It Is to Not Buy It.
Really?
And I show them, okay, this is how much you pay your person. This is how many hours a week they work. Okay, and this is the cost of the computer. And then do some formulas and say, okay, and it's usually within a year the computer has paid for itself, because they sit there watching that little spinny wheel, you know, and it's 10 seconds here, 10 seconds there. Well, that adds up. That 10 seconds adds up to, you know, minutes or sometimes hours a day.
So you say business development, but I'm thinking in my head business efficiency. is how I hear, like what I'm hearing is like,
right.
I'm like, yeah, business development. Sure. Like when I think about business development too, I'm thinking about like, hey, how I'm here to help you grow your business, right? Like business growth, sales, revenue, right. profitability. And that is a right. layer of that. But I think that it's, and to be a business owner, you're pulled in tons of different directions. There's tons of things. Something breaks. You have to now fix that. Tons of things come up. And it's really common for your head just to be spinning. And when your head's spinning, you can't make clear decisions. And so having someone come in to look and assess it, like, how are you running your business?
Right. Tried pitching it as business efficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, I did that a little bit. And the sort of pushback I got was people generally think they're being efficient. Mm. If there was a better way, we'd be doing it.
Oh, yeah, but that's, I want to be careful how I phrase this, but it's really easy when you're acting out of habit.
Oh, sure. And the other thing is in computers, stuff changes constantly.
And
if you had a procedure from 10 years ago, there might be software that cuts that time in half, but if you don't know that that exists, you're not going to try and do it because you don't know it's out there.
And like, sure, you're a business owner and you know your business best. Cool. And I've been doing it this for 45 years and I'm not changing.
The six most dangerous words in the English language are, we've always done it this way.
We've always done it this way. And I see that when I worked corporate, that was the biggest pushback, is new ideas coming in, right? No. Why would we do? Right. We have never done it that way.
We had a customer at my last job that we took over in the summer, and then in December-ish, the accountant would call me, and she mm-hmm. says, "All right, well, it's time to empty the computer." And I'm like, "What do you mean, empty the computer?" And she says, "Well, you know, we gotta get set up for the next fiscal year, so we have to erase the computer and reset everything, so we're ready to start on January 1." And I was like, "What are you?" It took me a minute to. She was thinking in terms of paper. So if you have everything on paper, at the end of the year, you put all those in boxes and put them in the warehouse, and then you empty your bins, and you're ready to go January 1. So she had that paper mentality, and I was like, no. We leave everything in the computer. There's plenty of space.
Right.
You know, we got mountains of disk space. But she had her older philosophy that she was just continuing to do, because why would you change it? So I had to, you know, gently explain to her that was an outdated philosophy, you know. And that's really the key, by the way. You know, we talk about relationships, having those hard conversations where I don't want to make her feel like she's embarrassed, you know,
right,
make her think
right,
she's
right.
dumb, because she's not dumb. Mm-hmm. She just had a different philosophy, and you have to take care of those people.
I think that for business owners too, or anyone, even if you're a general manager, like, be open to the feedback, man. Like, just because you're in a position, you're the top person on the totem pole, like, don't let this offend. Sorry if this offends anyone, but also, whatever. Don't have the arrogance.
Right.
You were an employee once, and you had to get trained, and you had to get coached. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you deal with as a business owner. It's okay to take some feedback once in a while and be adaptable.
And the thing is, a lot of times, as your company grows and you put in layers of management or different teams, or maybe you buy another business that, you know, maybe you're not familiar with, but mm-hmm. you're it's sort of related to your business, so you buy it, or you start a branch of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the rubber meets the road, you may not know what actually happens.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, like that Undercover Boss show. Yeah, it's dramatized for TV and people start crying and they tell all the touchy-feely stuff. But at the end of the day, the manager comes in and he's like, oh, we're doing this way? Why are we doing this the hard way? You know, and then the employee is always like, well, this is what I was told to do.
Yeah, and then the workers are like, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to put the frozen turkey in the fryer.
Right.
And all that stuff, you know?
Right, or just... just general, how the business actually runs.
Because right.
if you're far enough divided from the customer facing person to the owner, you have an idea as an owner of what's going on. But yeah. you got to be there where the rubber meets the road to yeah. know what happens. Because, you know, I can tell you, oh, I just go fix computers. Well, there's a lot more to it than that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, 30 years ago, remember cabs before Uber?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my dad was the president of the cab company. And
oh, really?
So they had him, this was like 1991 or something. But they had him go out as a driver for a little while. They had him be a dispatcher for a while. They had him be the office manager for a while. And now he can see, okay, this is how everything actually works.
Right.
You know, all those little nuances, all the stuff that comes up in a day, you know, because, you know, again, it's, oh, I drive here, I pick somebody up, I drive them somewhere else, I drop them off, and they give me money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other things that can happen throughout the day that you just would never know just based on the description of, oh, you just drive people from here to there.
Right, right. And if you don't know what goes on at each major category of your business, how are you going to know what good right. buttons to push and decisions right. to make?
And how would you know that if I make this change over here because it's good for this department or this whatever,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's bad for another department and I've actually hurt my company.
Right.
And maybe you have to weigh out which of those two things is more important. Or you can say, hey, I want to still do this thing, but if I modify it just a little bit, I don't hurt myself over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think leadership in businesses, right? That's like, it's a tall tale sign to the negatives and problems in businesses, but also, sure, you can attribute some of the leadership to the successes too, but like, it's really, leadership is just there to make sure that the business is moving in the right direction. You need the people to make it work. If you don't have the good people, quality people, and if you're in a leadership position and you're not investing time and understanding and aren't able to grow yourself and to like from a standpoint of from your business, right? If you're not able to take feedback and listen to new ideas, that's going to be really hard for you to spread that positivity and leadership yeah. amongst your peers, right?
Right. And the thing is, you know, there's a difference between being the manager and being a leader.
Right.
Just because you have a title and maybe you get a bigger paycheck doesn't necessarily mean anything. People will do what you told them to do when they're on the clock because mm-hmm. they have to.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to be a leader, you need to be out there running your business. And what a lot of people struggle with, you know, if they start a one-person business and then now it's like five people, is you have to transition, you know, whereas I used to do the work myself. Now I have people to do the work for me. So now your job is not to do the end customer work. Your mm-hmm. job is to take care of those four people.
Right.
That's your whole job.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Do you need a new computer? What can I help you be more efficient in your
mm-hmm.
business?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy at work? Run those four people. That's your whole world because you'll take care of them and they will take care of your customers.
Oh, absolutely. So I think I know you steer away from like business efficiency terminology, like phrasing when you like tell people.
Just because it's scary to customers.
It's scary to customers, but like it shouldn't be. Why wouldn't you want to make sure that you're running an efficient business?
You know,
I think it is part of its ego and
you have to adapt.
Yeah.
You know? I try to think for a while, you know, people always ask for a business card and I
right.
would say, hey, rather than give you a piece of paper that you can lose,
right.
right. I'll just send you an email.
Right.
And in my mind, as a technical guy, I was like, now I'm in your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is click reply and go, hey, Matt, can you come in and we can talk about my website?
Mm-hmm.
Send. Done. Zero. I never got a single one.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, I tried that thing. I was open to new ideas and I was, you know, trying something out and it just didn't work. So,
yeah. Yeah. For me too, like, from a business standpoint, I've always just tried open to anything, even if I'm like told to do it. And I'm like, dude, I don't right. want to do that. That's
right. You go into it knowing that's a bomb
and I'm going to get my teeth knocked in and I go and do it and I'm like, I'll do it once. I'm going to do it once or I'm going to do it until it just hurts really good. And then I'm not going to do it anymore.
And
but
sometimes, you learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, hey, we should 10 years later, somebody's like, hey, why don't we try this? You can go, I've already been down that road.
Right.
Or you learn some little nugget.
Right.
It wasn't even the whole thing. It was just some little nugget that you can apply later on. You know, and that's kind of where my life has been, is like this little, you know, all these little lessons along the way,
yeah.
Right, that just added up to something.
Yeah, and I look at that like, it's like, hey, it wasn't for me, but it might be for you, right?
Right.
And so I tried it. This is what I struggled with, right? This is what I play more to my strengths, right? With how growing business and doing activities that I'm good at, opposed to activities that make me a nervous wreck and I can't think straight and I say the wrong things.
Right. Right? It's fear of failure. Yeah. People have such fear of failure that they won't try something.
Right.
And you have to get to a mentality of, if you're not failing, you're not trying.
Right.
You know, you're going to fail at some things, you know, like the whole email thing instead mm-hmm. of business cards. To me, that seemed like the easiest option because I could just do it right from my phone while I'm standing here talking to you.
Yeah.
And then you could just hit reply. There's mm-hmm. nothing. You don't have to look for my business card, but it failed miserably.
Right.
But you got to try some stuff and sometimes you can pivot a little and save an idea with just a few fix-ups, and sometimes the idea is just dead in the water.
Mm.
And but that's okay. You put that aside and you try something else. You know, at Luma, we've done things. You know, it's a projection festival, but we try to have a piece every year that's not projection, but it's still an art piece. And some of those have gone really well, and some of them didn't go as well as we would have liked.
Right.
But, you know, we had a piece that we didn't think went that well, but we got phone calls about it because people said, oh, you did this thing? We want to be part of your festival now, or can we interview you because you did that thing?
Yeah, no, that's...
So it's the perception from the outside that, yeah, that maybe didn't. We would have liked it to have gone better, but, you know, it's still something under your belt, and you can say, hey, we learned some stuff, and you just move forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I'll we'll ask, maybe have a few more topics here, and then we'll wrap things up. This one's going a little bit longer, but I think the conversation, it's been, you know, well, we've discussed, went down a few streets that we maybe didn't expect to go down today, and it's been good conversation. So, but I think maybe just wrapping up, like, one thing that I am a believer of, and with the Chamber of Commerce and just understanding, like, what our role is between the community and business, and just linking, the two things are obviously linked.
Absolutely.
But for us, it's been more or less of like trying to maintain our focus has to be on businesses, but fostering and helping be a driver in the community is going to strengthen businesses and encourage them to move businesses to start in the area, right? So like I look at the Luma Festival as something that puts Binghamton on the map, right? It gets tourism, attracting people. Right. And you need people in order to have a successful business. Right. How can small communities, you know, aside from Binghamton, but like I look at the smaller communities in like Northern Tioga, which is primarily where we serve in our chamber. How can a festival like Luma have an impact on a community like that, a small community and its business owners?
Well, I mean, Luma is kind of a rarity, you know, in terms of it has to be in downtown Binghamton. But, you know, you can offer events in small communities. You just have to know that you're just going to have a smaller turnout.
Sure.
But, you know, it's always about people. And so people, a lot of politicians and mayors and things, and they'll say, oh, well, we got to get some businesses and just get businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand how you get a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could snap your fingers and fill up every building in the county with a business tomorrow, but in 6 months they'd be out of business because there's no customers.
Right,
right.
Right.
You have to establish that customer base. So everybody is always like, we got to get businesses and then we'll get customers. And I'm like, no. Bring them the customers and the businesses will go where the people are.
They will come.
Right. That's why shopping malls used to work, you know, before social habits changed.
Right, but, right, right, right.
Because people would go to the mall as it's just a thing.
Yeah.
And so the customers were there. So it was worth renting the space because that's where the customers were. So if you could put people, you know, where your vacant buildings are on a regular basis, businesses will follow.
Right.
And people need to understand that economic development takes time.
It does.
You're not going to have one summer fest and then, you know, 100 businesses are going to open.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
You need 5 years of doing that and doing Halloween events and Christmas events and New Year's and Easter and all these other events and just, you know, Joe's birthday party and whatever it is,
right?
You know,
right.
Just creating that vibrant community, and then businesses will spring up.
Mm-hmm. And we do some of that stuff too, and there's some successful stuff in our area, Newark Valley and whatnot, that bring in people from all over, right? And I just think, you know, consistency and staying with it, right, over the long term. But yeah, that's one of the challenges our chambers face, is like balancing the community effort and like focusing on our local businesses and trying to have that economic development impact, if you will.
And the key is creativity, right? And this is where a lot of people struggle, because today there's so many events you can go to.
Right.
So it's like, why would I go to your thing?
Right.
That's really the question. You need to sort of sit down as a group and look each other dead in the eye and go, is this something people are going to go to?
Right.
Not just because we did it. It doesn't matter how much time we put into doing it.
Correct.
You know, people, unfortunately, some people think that that's some viable aspect of like, well, I spent, you know, 3 weeks planning this out. Well, sorry, you spent 3 weeks and it just didn't pan out. But you got to have a real hard conversation about, is this something people want to go to? And the reason Luma works is because it's so unique.
It's different. I've never heard anything of it like it. I've never seen anything. People are like, that's really cool. I'm going to that.
And that's what you got to do in your local events, you know, in smaller towns, is don't have a 5K and don't have a sit-down dinner and don't have, you know, a vanilla, you know, just a lemonade stand.
Right.
Try to get outside the box.
And
doesn't necessarily have to be something that's never been done. You can find stuff on Facebook and Instagram and all this stuff that's just never been done here.
Right.
And you can do those here. And the other thing is, you got to play off what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work with the resources you have.
True.
So here in the Northeast, we have snow. So like, I would love to see some sort of really nice winter festival of sleigh riding and,
that'd be huge.
Snowman building and free hot chocolate. And
that's awesome.
You know, again, it's just work with what you have.
Right.
You know, part of the reason Luma works is because the buildings here have such great character that you bring in these world-class artists and they can bring it to life. Whereas if you go to a big town and they've got all those skyscrapers, you can't do anything with those.
No.
You know, but here, these buildings have these beautiful columns and the window features, and they're great canvases.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But you got to get, it's being creative. And that is a struggle for a lot of people, you know. I've been on various boards, and we talk about fundraisers, and everybody throws out a 5K and a sit down dinner and a turkey raffle, and it's like, no, we gotta do something, get outside the box a little, because you know, in the 50s and stuff, you know, there was like one event a year, you know, and so everybody would go. Well, today there's so many more people in the world, and there's so many more events, and there's so many of the same kinds of events. You've got to find a way to get people to come to your thing, and you got to keep that thing fresh. You know, there was a fundraising seminar down in Texas, and they said after 3 years, you have to throw your event away and do another one because people get bored.
It gets bored of it.
And
yeah.
And I think that's a little harsh.
Right.
I think you can still do it, but you got to find ways to keep it
fresh.
Add
a different flavor.
Right. Like Luma, you know, it's a production festival. We do this, you know. But we do new artwork every single year, so it's a new event every year, and you can have, you can repeat your event. You just got to find new flavors, to new varieties of things that you can add to it. You know, like the corn maze that they do out in Newark Valley. It's a corn maze every year, but it's a different
theme.
They change They change the theme of the maze, and they change the little questions, have a different theme every year. So it's a new experience every year.
And it's getting to that. Days like today where it's going to be like highs of 60, where it's like those are the days that make you want to get out there and go play in the corn maze and stuff like that. That, you know, those are the special attributes that are unique. It's like you could maybe find a couple corn mazes in the area, right?
Right.
But it's unique, right? And they make it unique, and they have different things that you can do.
Yeah. And you know, if you go to New York City, they don't have a corn maze there.
No.
Because they don't have room for it.
No, and you can't buy Christmas trees in New York City.
Right.
You know, if you do, it's going to be, you're going to spend $150, $200 on a small live tree, right? So, yeah, there are definitely some unique qualities to our local communities, then I think you're right. Like, we have to, there has to be like an up and down assessment of like, what are our strengths? What are our really cool things that need to be showcased? And how do we get people to come and experience those things? And then let that be the driving factor for our businesses, right?
Right, right. And when you first start an event, the turnout's not going to be great. You know, and you just
got to stay with it.
Stay with it for a few years. Let it build, because people will come the first year. It's not so much if you think the event went well. It's if the people who did come, even if it's less than you wanted it to be, if those people had a good time. Because they'll leave. They'll come back next year. They'll bring a friend. They'll tell a friend, whatever. And it'll grow over time.
It's all good content, Matt. And it's been a great having you on here. We went a little long, but the content's been awesome. You know, if for all of you that are listening, Matt, how can someone, if we have a business owner listening, how can they get a hold of you?
The best option, hit me up on my cell phone, 607-624-3524. Let's talk about how you run your business and how I can save you some money and by, you know, being more efficient. The other thing that we didn't talk about, I just want to mention briefly, you know, everybody has a website, but I tell people all the time, is it actually selling or is it just there?
Right.
You know? So if you have a website and you want to up your sales, give me a call.
Awesome. That's Matt White, everybody. We appreciate all of you for listening and tuning in. We do have a new donation button within our podcast. You know, you guys can go on our podcast website and now donate to our Chamber of Commerce so we can start building up more funds to fund economic activities in Northern Tioga County, Newark Valley, Berkshire, Richford. It's a really cool point, part of New York State here that we want to keep thriving. So thanks for all for listening, and we'll see you next time.